Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi.
E Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Week in Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
And we are back. Back for another episode of This Week in Skating. Gina and I are here without Matteo, who is traveling today. So it's just the two of us.
But you will hear from Matteo a little later in the show. So don't worry. He's going to be still part of this episode.
Definitely. So I think the first thing we have to talk about right off the top is we had a medal ceremony last week.
Did finally a medal ceremony, and I thought it was absolutely wonderful. We were watching together via Zoom along with Anne and Melanie. We had it on our respective devices, whether it be computer or TV, and then we were just on Zoom and talking and just seeing the Japanese team and the US team getting their moment. It was just so great. They were having such a good time out there. The photos they were posing for, I just thought it was a wonderful ceremony. And there were so many people there to watch it as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if they knew what they were watching, but it was cool. And I'm sure a lot of family and friends were there of the athletes as well, so...
Yeah, and I know that there were also some other medal reallocation ceremonies that took place, too. Before we move on, though, to our general skating news, I wanted to point out, there seemed to be some controversy around Jordan Chiles winning the bronze in the floor exercise. And the turnaround time for that Court of Arbitration of Sport decision was very quick.
Yeah, and I guess they have, in the cases of the Olympics, they can do decisions quickly. And I think that was why when, if people remember from Beijing, they ruled quickly on Kamila Valieva being able to compete in the individual event. And then everything else regarding the medals in the team event was after the Olympics. But they did make, I guess, that decision, and in cases where a decision needs to be made, you know, relatively quickly within the, still, as the Olympics are still going on, I guess they're able to do that. I have my own views on this whole thing, and I just think it's such a technicality that, you know, these athletes are having to deal with this right now, and I'm hating to hear that as soon as we had a medal ceremony for the women, now another sport is having to deal with the Court of Arbitration for Sport and all of this. And it's like, ah, really? Can't everything just happen as it should happen? And but yeah, I hope I hope it works out for all of the athletes involved. I don't think anyone should be giving back a medal. That's my own personal thought. And so I'm hoping medals can be awarded to the two Romanian gymnasts, because I know there's I guess there may be two there that could have gotten bronze if I'm reading everything correctly. And then, of course, having Jordan keep her bronze medal.
Yeah. I guess we'll have to keep watch of that because right now they are wanting Jordan to return the medal to award it to the Romanian gymnast. But there's appeals and just some different things going on. We may not talk about this again. We're just mentioning it because it's a CAS thing. It just got me thinking to how fast appeals get or situations get processed and approved or denied during an Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah. We probably, again, won't mention this on the podcast again. I know I'll be talking about it with my friend, because obviously she follows gymnastics closely, but, just unfortunate that, coming out of these Olympics, which I thought were great, I thought these were really great Olympics, that there's, something that's hanging over it again, like Beijing all over again, so.
Yeah. So, we should move on. We have a bunch of updates to Grand Prix assignments. Gina, do you want to start the rundown?
Sure. So, Korea's Hyun Lee and Young Yu have been removed from Skate America. They are still listed for their second Grand Prix events. Now, Korea's Min Che Kim has been assigned to Skate America and Cup of China, and Olga Mikatina has been assigned to Skate America.
Daria Danileva and Mikhail Seba have been assigned to NHK Trophy. Daniel Grassel, who we haven't seen in a red hot minute, he has been added to NHK Trophy, taking place of Adam Higara, who is going back to the Junior Grand Prix. And then Nella Pelkonen has been added to Skate Canada.
Well, moving on to event results, we had a challenger this week.
We did.
And it's weird now because we don't have one for a couple weeks, I think now and not until September. So we kind of get, it's like, hey, skating world, the season started, but oh, hold on. We're going to give you a little time to ease in. And I think Jackie was like, wait, there's a challenger starting? I'm not ready. But I don't know if Jackie's ever ready for the season to start. He just, he needs his long break, and I don't think he realizes that the skating world doesn't give him long enough of a break.
Well, this one is early because I think isn't the next one Lombardia?
John Nix is in September, okay. And I think that's like maybe the week before Lombardia. They're right around each other in September.
Okay. So, we're going to talk about the Cranberry Cup took place last week. It took place in Norwood, Massachusetts. It's a Challenger Series event for singles. This was a singles-only competition. In the senior women, Team USA swept the podium, but not in a way you would expect.
No.
Sarah Everhart moved up from third with 7 clean triples in her free skate to claim the gold medal. Elise Lynn Gracie, the leader after the short program, she dropped down to silver with a 3rd place free skate. And Isabel Levito, who's the reigning world silver medalist, finished 3rd. She had a time violation in her free skate and received no credit on her combination spin at the end of the program. And Ah Sun Yun of Korea, Star Andrews of the U.S., and Madeline Skeezes of Canada were 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Yeah, and I'm going to just throw out, we say this at this time of year every year, but it's really early in the season. So people were like, oh my God, Isabel Levito, how come she, was in 3rd, whatever. First competition of the season. It's a long season. I'm actually kind of surprised she's competing this early because she will have a long season if she's to make the world championships. So, just throwing that out there again, if you're hearing results and you're like, oh, what happened? Why is so-and-so in this place? It's August, and first competition for many. So,
it's going to take some time. I'm not concerned. No. It's cool that Isabeau is competing this early in the season, like getting the programs out there. Good for her for going out there and showing what she has prepared for this point in the season. We also have to remember that Isabeau Levito competed right up through the end of March, while Elise Lynn Gracie, her season ended in February, and Sarah Everhard, hers ended in January at the U.S. Championships. So, yeah, it takes a little more time. I mean, kudos, as I said, Isabeau for being ready enough to go out at to a Challenger Series event at this point. Yeah. Because I think it's great for her to be able to go out and show what she has at this point in the season. I'm not concerned. This is the time to get the bugs worked out.
Right. And just to mention, too, we didn't have a live stream for this event. So we didn't really get to see any of this. We are basing everything off of the protocols. So hopefully we'll get to see some of these programs soon. But moving on to senior men, Luca Brassard, whose season was cut short last season after having to withdraw from U.S. Nationals, is back and took home gold at Cranberry Cup. France's Luca Konomidis took the silver. He was third in the free skate. Jimmy Ma, who was in seventh after the short program, had the second best free skate of the event. He landed two quad toes in his program. He took the bronze medal, his third medal at Cranberry Cup, which takes place in his home rink. I found that interesting because when I was looking at after the short program and saw that Jimmy was in seventh place, I was like, oh, but watch, Jimmy's going to medal because he has done that at like every other Cranberry Cup. So I was not surprised. He likes that home rink advantage.
How many U.S. championships have we seen Jimmy come back, like with a strong free skate?
I know. I mean,
it's just expected at this point.
Yeah.
Like, let him compete in an event where both the programs match up to what he can do. That would be a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah. And I hope it's not Cranberry where that happens, which it didn't happen here. I would like that to happen at a U.S. Nationals for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Camden Pulkkinen, who was eighth in the short program, moved up to fourth overall. Andrew Torgashev and Roman Sadovsky round out the top six. There was a junior international event as well that was not a challenger. The results are in our show notes. In the junior event, Sophie Jolene Von Felten became the 27th woman to land a clean triple axel in international competition. So very cool there, but you can check out all of the results of the junior event in our show notes.
Well, results also in our show notes for the Copper Cup, which was an NQS event for singles, and the final solo dance series event. The competitors who qualified for national championships in solo dance will now be preparing for that event, which is going to take place in September. At IDC, we're going to be having some of those video interviews again with Brooke Tufts. So we're super excited. And who knows, maybe she or Lucas or both will make an appearance on the podcast before that competition.
Sounds good. Well, over in Japan, it's the Jensen Summer Cup. Now, the competition is still going on as we record this podcast. It ends August 13th, so when you're listening to this podcast, it's probably already over. But here's what we have so far in terms of results. Kazuki Tomono won gold in the men's event. Tetsuya Tsuboi won silver, and Shinsaki Nakamura won the bronze. In the junior women's event, Mao Shimada took home the gold, with Mei Okada and Ami Naki claiming silver and bronze, respectively. Now, the women's results are as of the short program. The free skate is Tuesday.
The women's results as of the short program, as we said, they'll wrap up by the time this podcast comes out. Yuna Aoki is in first place, with Rino Matsuiki and Mana Kawabe in second and third, respectively. There were 45 skaters in the women's event, with only 25 making the free skate. And Sena Takahashi is the leader after the junior men's short program. Again, 43 skaters in that event. Ryo Nakata is in second and Ryota Mori is in third. The free skate, as we said, is going to be today as this podcast comes out. Continuing on to the Quebec Summer Championships. In the senior men, Adrian Paul Celestino won the gold. In senior women, it was Brecken Bresden. Senior pairs, Kelly Ann Lauren and Lucas Etier. And in senior dance, Alicia Fabry and Paul Eyre. Worth mentioning, Sandrine Gauthier and Quentin Theron, who competed at the senior level last season, are now going back to the junior level due to that age rule change. So they're going to have another opportunity to skate this season, probably out on the JGP. They did go to Junior Worlds 2 years ago and finished in the top eight, I believe. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all comes about and how the results are this season with that.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Okay, so the solo dance training camp took place in London, UK on the 11th and 12th of August. This is the first summer solo ice dance seminar in London. It's hosted by Philippa Tola Green. She is a former Great Britain ice dancer, and she's the coach, or one of the coaches, for Ashley Slatter and Adel Onge-Perez. And we have a little report from Matteo, so we're going to go ahead and play that now.
Hi, everyone. I am sorry I cannot be with Daphne and Gina today to record together. Unfortunately, our schedule could not meet and coordinate to allow us to record together. And I'm looking forward to be reunited with them next week. But the reason why I'm doing this separate recording for you is that I want to talk to you about the solo ice dance training camp, which took place in London, UK last week. So I live in London and I was hoping to go to the events, but unfortunately life doesn't always go as planned. And although I was on the train getting ready to leave to go to the venue, the train never left the station that I was at because of a signal failure. And I still want to thank the host though for the invite to report from there. So here I am talking about it. This was the first solo ice dance in London. It was hosted by Candice Tyler Green, Pippa Tyler Green, and Daniel Linden. I want to thank Daniel in particular, because the reason why I'm able to talk to you about this is that he kindly provided the information that I'm sharing with you. So thank you for doing that after the event. So the three of them started to talk about the event a while ago, and they started to take submission roughly a month or so before it with the help of Lily Lanario, which supported with the coordination of the submissions. And they ended up with a format that had 2 days. The first day, the Saturday, was the novice to senior camp, which ended up having 32 skaters in attendance, some of which came from Wales and Sheffield, which is not very close to London, so that was quite a commitment for them to make all the journey there. And the second day, the Sunday, was a adult camp with 31 skaters in attendance. So the first day, the novice to senior day, they divided the skaters into two groups, which both had an edge class, working on different exercises to push knee bend, posture, and power on the ice. They decided to mix skaters so that they could have young skaters and more experienced skaters together to allow the younger ones to be exposed to the experience of the more senior skaters and to get inspired by them, which I think was a really good idea. So they had some of the senior skaters that I had there were junior and senior British champions, Lily Bakhtiari and Jessica Margers, who helped with the demonstrations of some of the exercises. They also had other skaters helping out with that. For example, they had Abby Peacock, which just moved to seniors in solo ice dance this season and has competed abroad. And they had also Eleanor Wally, which is a senior ice dancer. So the organizers that decided to work a lot on body movement this time, body movement inspired by Carolina Costner, in fact. And the reason why they did that is that Pippa was lucky enough to attend a camp that was all about choreography of Carolina Costner. So she started to introduce that into her choreography. The reason why they wanted skater to be exposed to it is that it's not all about footwork on the ice. The way that the sport has been adapting and evolving is bringing more body movement into the skating. So they wanted to have many exercises to allow the skaters to experiment and to explore new ideas via the use of body movement. They had two groups of skaters. So during the first half of the day, if one group was on the ice, the other one would be off the ice doing gym work with a bit of workouts and stretch session with Jill Slatter, which is the mum of Ashley Slatter, the junior ice dancer representing Great Britain with Ongai Paris. The two of them, in fact, were there and they showed everyone their new freedoms. So the next part of the camp, they had the skaters all together on the ice, and they split them in their groups where they worked on different elements such as twizzles, edge poses such as spirals, arabesques, spread eagles, and more. And then swapped the groups to allow everyone to make sure that they could work on all the elements. All the skaters then got back on the ice together for a body movement, improv, and coordination workshop. They finished off by having the skaters mix up into little groups, and each one of them was tasked to create a short piece of choreography to express different emotions, and then they had to perform their pieces in front of their of the other groups and the coaches to let everyone guess their emotion, the emotions that they were displaying. They concluded the day with a group photo to finish off, and that was the closure of the first day. The second day, so the Sunday, and the which was the adult camp, was basically like the first day in structure. They had two groups, they did more or less the same exercises, and what the coaches saw is that they had a lot of very enthusiastic adult skaters which felt challenged. They felt like they were allowed to push themselves harder, and they felt that everyone really enjoyed it. In fact, following the 2 days, they had a lot of thank you emails, a lot of positive feedback, and hopefully they are looking forward to hosting more events like this in the near future. So we, although, as I said, I did not have a chance to be there, I really hope that they will do more of these events in the future. I hope that luck will be on my side and I will be able to attend from there. But again, thank you for allowing us to have a bit of information to share with you all. And we'll...
Thank you so much, Matteo, for sharing that information. It's important, I think, to continue to amplify solo ice dance. And we here definitely appreciate it. And we'll continue to report on whatever, you know, news comes out. We're definitely on board with that. We will continue to do our best to bring solo dance to the forefront.
Yeah, and hopefully Matteo will get to go to a competition in England. He's had some issues. This is the second time he's tried to get somewhere to a competition within, not far from him at all, and he has travel issues, or last time I think he was sick when something happened. So hopefully the third time he tries to go to something in his own country, he can.
Yeah, he's definitely had some issues. I'm wondering if maybe he'll be able to go to the Blackburn Trophy, which is one of the international events that's taking place. Mm-hmm. It's in Blackburn, Great Britain, so I'm not sure how close that is to him, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he's able to attend some of that. It would be really cool.
Yeah.
I love that there are now 5 events listed on that schedule. So it's pretty cool to see more solo dance events, international events being added. Okay, the final event on our list, National Showcase took place in San Jose. Melanie was the official photographer. She had a challenging time there just with some mishaps that had nothing to do with the competition, really. It just other things were going on. So, so those results will be in our show notes.
Yeah. Well, definitely go to our website and check out our program announcement section. I've been updating it. There's been updates to ISU bios. So program information has been posted on ISU bios as well as Team USA bios. So all of that is now on our website as well. So you can see who we're still waiting to get program information for and who has announced it. Their information and competed. That link will be in our show notes on where you can find that on our website.
Yes, we're already updating profiles on IDC based on the information that we've collected from Lake Placid. So, moving on to our recent interviews, there is a great video interview with Olga Mikutina of Austria over at Golden Skate. So, wanted to point that one out. As far as social media updates, this week I think we have to just say, go on Instagram and search out members of Team USA and the Japanese national team who were awarded their medals, because between all of those skaters, there's just a lot to look at. It's really fun and great to celebrate both of those teams, both Team USA and Team Japan. They are very vocal on social media with lots of photos. Team Japan looked like they were really getting into it. They were posing and doing lifts. And it just looked like people were having a really, really great time.
Yeah, I had a hard time because I would share one image and then I share somebody else would have another image and I'd want to share that. And then I was sharing somebody else here. And I made sure, I think I shared as many as I could from Team USA as well as Japan on the FSO Instagram accounts. But yeah, it was so cool seeing all of their posts and all the fun they were having. And I'm so glad they had that medal ceremony. And now we can close that chapter and move on to continuing the fight for clean sport.
Definitely. So moving on to upcoming events for this week. We have Champs Camp taking place at the Skating Club of Boston, and that also includes the Skating Elite Summer Sizzle, which is taking place at 7 p.m. on Thursday, August 15th. We also have 3 NQS events for singles this week. Skate at the Lake in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin, Cup of Colorado in Highland Ranch, Colorado, and Potomac Open in Ashburn, Virginia. And the Japanese Dreams Ice Gala with Carolina Costner and a number of Japanese skaters, taking place on August 15th in Italy. Someone we know might be there too.
You'll just have to wait and see until next week.
Well, we like to end every episode by shining a lens on what's going on at our respective sites. Mateo is not here. Gina, do you want to share?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll take Mateo's thing. So over at TWIZ, again, program announcements, you can find that on our website. I am updating them as I'm seeing programs being announced. Our merchandise is also up there. If you haven't checked that out, their store page, you can see the latest This Week in Skating swag. We're keeping that website updated as best we can, so definitely go and check it out.
Yes, over at IDC, I have been working like crazy to get our event calendar updated for the year. There's a lot more events because we also put the solo events plus internationals plus Challenger Series. Like, there's just so many different competitions, and I know I may be missing a couple, like especially some of the national championships. So please let me know if you notice something's missing. I haven't seen the dates for Japan or Britain yet, and usually I put those on there. Also, Anne has been working tirelessly behind the scenes on recaps for the like plastic competition. So those are all up. And we'll also have an article coming out later this week and talk to Veronica Carhart, who is a former single skater who's now competing in solo ice dance. She's the sister to Helena, Adrian, and Marion Carhart. And Anne talked to her in Lake Placid about her switch to ice dance. She won the event, the novice combined solo event in Lake Placid. So you'll have to check that out later this week. Gina, what's going on over at FSO?
Well, Scott was at the medal ceremony, as I mentioned, and so he has an interview, well, his article, with comments from the Team USA and some of the members of Team Japan. So check that out. He has one more coming from Paris, so that will be coming in the coming days. I know he is probably on his way home from Paris after being there for almost 3 weeks. Photos from Cranberry Cup are up. More are coming. The short program is up. Free skate will be up this week. And the continuation of our collegiate series, the next article will be coming this week. We talk to U.S. collegiate champion Junsu Kim.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
I shared Scott's article with the Team USA athletes, Team Japan athletes, about the medal ceremony. It was great that he was on the ground there and got to actually see it in person. You can feel the magic, I think. Is it exactly what they would have gotten in Beijing? No.
No.
But for them to get their medals, it was a really special thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I haven't talked to him too much. Our communication was basically via text messages, and he said from where he was, he basically, like, the photos he took were mostly of the, like, the Jumbotron there that was showing him because he was kind of far away. But, yeah, I think he enjoyed being there and enjoyed getting to talk to the athletes. He did one more interview, more of a one-on-one interview. And that's the article that hasn't come up yet, but it'll be hopefully soon. He talked to me and he said, I'll have you two articles for you. So that next one should be coming soon. But yeah, I'm glad it worked out that he was able to be there. It was unfortunate that our photographers weren't there. I know when I went to go post his article, I was like, what am I going to do with photos? And I even emailed over at US Figure Skating and they weren't able to help me out too much either. So, it was just, yeah, I wish our Melanie and Danielle and Robin would have been there, cause they missed out on that opportunity in Beijing. So hopefully now with, Paris over, the next Olympics is of course Milan in 2 years, and so hopefully we will not have any issues in Milan and all medal ceremonies will happen when they're supposed to and our photographers will be there. Let's
hope for that. And Gina and I may have a special guest on in the near future to talk a little bit more about that medal ceremony.
Yes.
But that's still in the works, so we really can't talk about that yet. Yeah, thanks for listening, everyone. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.